It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than being meta perverse. You can join our chat room, the Den Pen. Go to davincomedy.com, click on live broadcast. Also, you can watch on the Davin's Den page on Facebook. I don't think we're going to have an echo there tonight, but please let us know if we do. We only have an echo when two of us are in the same room using Zoom, and I wanted to test that tonight, but alas, Pip is not here, so I'll have to ask Zoom to help me next week, as we're trying to get that fixed. I'm your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am maybe joined by Joe Curry. Joe, are you here? No. The show sneaks up on Joe every time. And Pip Helix. Hello, Pip.
Hi, everybody.
On the show, getting virtually raped. What a fun topic. I didn't know such a thing was a thing, but it is a thing. It's kind of an interesting thing. Virtually raped. You know what? When you're too lazy to rape somebody in the real world, you virtually rape them. It's like a rape starter kit. Fun topic to discuss.
Lovely.
Should women walk it off and stay at the desk when pregnant? One Fox and Friends host thinks possibly yes. Pip's blog is about that. Spoiler alert. She begs to differ. Ted Cruz doesn't have enough irony in his diet, so he seeks some more. Always fun when Teddy tells politicians to man the battle station, stay in the ditch, stay in the foxhole, because Ted Cruz is a foxhole type of guy, and he wants fellow politicians to do the same. We'll talk about that. This is fun. Scambusters, students catfish their teacher. What could possibly go wrong? What could possibly go wrong?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
School of Fools, Boston students get a ride on a bus with a bonus feature. That sounds like a lot of fun. A bonus feature. And scamming scammers, Joe and Pip, once again, ye of little faith and confidence in fake Davin, believe his days are numbered. We will see if they are right or not. Because they always root against fake Davin. It's very very sad. Very disappointing. But, you know, fake Davin doesn't do this for Joe and Pip. He does it for the people and his fake girlfriends.
Joe, what the hell? It sounded like you were wrestling with your couch.
I was getting set up.
Yeah, so I heard.
Apparently the couch was trying to make an escape. I don't want that ass on me anymore. Hey, don't call me that. doesn't he sound delightful as always, Joe?
What, Joe?
Yeah, Joe. Yeah, he always sounds cheery. You got to find that sweet spot in the show where Joe's a happy-go-lucky guy. It's right in between pissed off at the world and ready for Betty. There's a sweet spot.
Understand something. I've been at it since 8 o'clock this morning. I haven't stopped once and had an hour of lovely traffic. So I'm not the queen of the man. I'm the guy, you know, I just have to chill out. I mean, you know, but you think, hi, everyone.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is, showbiz. Same thing you do on stage. You know, you have a crappy day, you got stuck in traffic, you get there 5 minutes before the show. Hi, everyone! That's exactly what it is. We do that all the time.
Kimmy just said that she can't hear me.
I say Kimmy's lucky.
Yeah, and fuck you, too.
I have no...
anybody else hear me?
I have no idea what that is. Tell, give her the, you got your computer there. Give her the Davin Comedy link so she can watch in silence and hear good audio. Because I don't know. I mean, if a lot of people have that issue, then I guess we'll try to tackle it. But I don't know why that would be. Sometimes some people have issues that nobody else has. And then I spend the whole, like, 5, 10, 15 minutes trying to troubleshoot it. And sometimes there are issues that everybody has, which is what I was trying to resolve tonight with the Echo. So just give her, give Kimmy a warm hello and give her the link and tell her to click on the live thing. We're, the audio is so much better over there anyway. You know, it's just crisp. That's, that's why we still do it. I mean, if you listen to the podcast, it's crisp. It's, you know, Joe is always lower for some reason, but everything's crisp. We don't have the echo. Like when it echoes on Facebook, it doesn't echo in the broadcast. So yeah, just post that link from time to time. I don't know why. It could be she needs to reboot. I don't know. If a bunch of people say you're silent, then have to figure something out. But I'm using the Zoom app for the first time on my computer as opposed to going to the website. That was part of the fix. There's a setting on the Zoom app that there is not on the website that I was going to reduce the echo of when we are both in the same room. But alas, that will have to wait. So on the pre-show, we were talking about Pip's basement taking on water. Now, have you lost any important tchotchkes when you take on water?
No, you know what? This is a habitual problem we have with this corner of the house. And when it really starts pounding down, this one gutter can't take it all. And it just, I think it's a weak spot in the dirt, and the water gets into the basement, and it kind of seeps out from there. And depending on how far it gets into the basement is what we call high tide or low tide. You know, and Mr. Helix is down there with the shop vac, sucking for his life whenever it rains really hard.
Well, you know, you can fix that. You can. I mean, it costs money, but you could seal the outside of the house.
Yeah, we're going to have to look into that. I just need money.
I think that's the move because, you know, you don't want to, you know, water inside the house eventually, you know, destroys the foundation. You get cracks, you know, forget, plus all the effort and everything. It's just, yeah, well, you know what? Guess you won't be roasting your brains out at a concert in England this year. You will be securing your house. That's what you will have to do. Welcome.
Yes.
Welcome to home ownership, as everybody says. Well, every miserable homeowner says to people who already own homes but are now going through a hardship. It's like, ha-ha, this feels wonderful. Better you than me. And speaking of, the king of segues. There's Joe efforting in with his interwebs. There's Joe. Look at him at NASA. Look at, maybe he's at Tesla. Maybe he's got whatchamahoos that's right behind him, whispering things for like before he tweets them. Joe, is this good? What do you think, Joe? Maybe Elon Musk is right there. There, you got to see Joe's background. Anyway, so
I think that's the back of his head, but right on Joe's. Well, looking at him, the left. The shoulder? I think that's Elon Musk sitting in that chair.
Right there, hard at work. Hard at work. Elon Musk. So speaking of taking on water, so we come home from the garage sale, which I will get to shortly. We come home from the garage sale, and my daughter takes a shower in the brand new renovated bathroom that we had issues with. Earlier in the week, last week, where we had the contractor come out and fix it. So, speaking of taking on water, all of a sudden, the ceiling starts leaking over the oven, which is a new place to leak.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes, yes. Yes, yes.
No.
And, well, then it decides, you know what? This is new. But everybody loves the classics, and it goes back to leaking over the sink through the light as well.
Oh my God, this is terrible! This is just the never ending. Oh my God, my face!
Pip's never ending face.
So this is a new spot.
No, well, it's still coming from the same one, but as we all know, water goes to the lowest ground, so, you know, like as a kid, me and my buddy Elias, people would, like, wash their cars, and we would, like, make dams down the road, like, along the curb in the dirt, and you block it for a little while, but eventually the water goes, yeah, I'm gonna go around. That's essentially what this is. So it just went to the other place, and it goes, ah, we're gonna go through the sink, too. So there's no joy in this house. So, again, my contractor comes over, you know, he's doing the best he can with this.
You should build a room just for him.
Well, you know what's funny? You know what's funny? We're going to be going away for a couple of weeks, and we need somebody to come in and feed the cats. And my wife's like, I'm afraid to leave this house because stuff could go wrong. I'm like, yeah, if nobody's using it, nothing's going to go wrong. And the contractor's like, listen, I'll come and check on the house every day if you want, which is very nice.
Which is pretty much what he's been doing.
It is. But here's the interesting thing about things. Like, Pip knows this. When you go away, like if somebody's coming in to feed the cats, you leave the vet, you leave the number, you know, you have people close by if there's a problem. Now my contractor has to be on that list. Like when somebody comes in to feed the cat, like if there's a problem, call Javier. Yeah.
Exactly. Oh yeah. Now once you start having those kind of issues, it's like, well, like us, if we were to go away, we wouldn't. But it's like, okay, here's how you feed the cats. This is the vet. Here's a check written out to them in case you need it. And here's where we keep the shop vac. You know,
yeah.
That's what you do.
So he's befuddled by this. Because he, you know, remember last week I told everybody they never sealed the windows properly when they installed the windows. Because why would they? These are the same people that attach a tub with two-sided tape and then don't even bother to peel off both sides. So why would we do anything properly in this house? He goes to Lowe's. He's like, you know, I don't understand. And Lowe's tells him, well, those type of windows don't belong in a shower. Aha. So these are the type of windows that open from the bottom, you know, and then they push all the way up. So what happens is water can get from on top of them. Now, my daughter takes 45-minute showers. She takes long showers. I don't know what she's doing in there, you know, but she's getting our money's worth with the shower. So I don't know, like, I don't know how she splashed it. But so, I mean, again, why is the home inspector not saying, when he's looking at everything, not for nothing, these windows can't go in the shower? Because
that's what I was telling Pip when I was on the phone with her a couple of weeks ago when we were chatting. That's what I told you. I, like I said, my home inspector here pointed out all sorts of things. Did a video. I have records just in case. You know, the roof really gets me, Davin. I mean, if you know what you're doing, you could go up there and you could say you need a new roof. He went up there, he came down to me, he said, you don't need a roof now, you're going to need a roof in about 3 years.
Well, no, that was the roofer who said maybe 3 years. And his, well, he should have gone up there. He didn't. He went up with a drone. Not good enough. But we knew.
You can't go up with a drone. You've got to go up on
the roof. Doesn't bother me as much because it's a 30-year-old roof. We knew we were at the lifespan at the end of the roof. We just were hoping to get a couple of years out of it. That doesn't bother me. The bathroom stuff bothers me. All that stuff. Like, he should have looked at it and go, listen, I mean, I don't know what you can do about it, but just so you know, the water can get in, and he didn't pick up on the toilet either. So now my contractor came back. You know, he put like aluminum underneath it, and now we're trying to see, we have plastic over the top three quarters of the window, so no water can get in there, and we're just trying to test the bottom, because it was also getting on the windowsill, because when I would like put the shower head, I would aim the water at the lower part on the ledge, it would go down there.
Is it tile?
The back wall is tiled. It's all tiled. It's all brand new. We had it all redone. It's all just like our kitchen, brand new, which is getting destroyed. So now I guess next time my daughter takes a shower, we have to test, see if it's staying out of the bottom. If it's not staying out of the bottom, then we're going to have to seal that window off. That is the next.
Now, who put the window in?
I don't know. Probably the same morons that put the tub in, Joe. I don't know.
No, so this wasn't done by you. This was done by the previous.
No. Of course not. I don't. I remember a couple of weeks ago I was saying I don't want a window in the tub. It's the we had the whole thing, and Pip told us how they did it in her apartment, and it was like an L, and people could look in, and that's how, you know, Pip showed men her first titties the first time. We talked all about it.
So this is something that you did.
No, this is not what I did. The window was already there, so we remodeled around the window. But we didn't install that window. We just remodeled, but we might have to seal up that window.
Now, it's amazing whoever did the tile work and did the construction would know what they're doing, would need to, you know, would wonder if that was a window that was made to be in the bathroom.
You mean originally or now?
Originally and now.
Well, I mean, my contractor did not know that type of window does not belong in there. So you're supposed to have a horizontal window which is like shatterproof. This is just like a standard, like if you were in a window for a bathroom without a tub, you know, the little small ones without a tub. So
basically, like at the day program, if you're putting a shower, a tub surround, a fiberglass or a thermoplastic tub surround, and you have a window, there's a specific window kit that is made to go in there, you know, so you know when you're going in.
Well, you could put all the kits in the world if you have the wrong type of window, because even if we fix the bottom, even if by chance he fixed the bottom with the aluminum, you still got to tell people, listen, make sure it doesn't spray through the top, because there's no way you can fix that, because of the type of window it is. When you push up a window, there's a gap between the two panes of glass.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because like the bottom pane is closer to the inside. So you push that up, and then you have like pane on top of pane. You know, but there's a little space in between. When the window is down, that space is still there. And our plumber had told us to raise the shower head for tall people. My daughter's not a tall person, but it does serve – she's shorter than me and my wife. But it does serve as the guest bathroom. So – we did raise it up a little higher. Again, he didn't know about that window either. So, I mean, it's just this problem. I might have to buy another box of tile and seal up this window. That's
what about glass block? You know that glass block?
I don't know what that means.
It's
oh
like,
yeah,
it's clear. It's like a it's blocked, but it's like clear. It's like glass, and maybe you should go in use that instead.
You know what? I mean, I guess my wife likes the light in the window. I've taken showers in plenty of dark places. I'm fine with regular light. I don't need window. I don't think my daughter likes the window in there either. I mean, as a matter of fact, we put the my wife put a window treatment of like stained glass for the bottom. But I mean, yeah. I don't need a window in the shower. We put a fan in there that those weren't in there. We put the fan in there to deal with the steam from a shower. So it's just.
I never understood a window in a shower either. I go, what are you going to do? Wash your ass and wave at traffic at the same time? I never got that.
Well, no, Joe. It sounds like you do understand. It sounds like you nailed the purpose.
It sounds exactly like you know.
Yeah, I got to agree. It is the dumbest thing. It's just so. Who wants that? Like I understand the purpose of a window in a bathroom, of course. In the shower, no, it's a design flaw. And then to put the wrong windows in, it's just maddening. Because, listen, my contractor's good. He's not charging me for this fix and everything. But the problem is, first of all, I might have to get more tile. But the problem is, you can never move on to the next project. You're never moving forward. Because you're always getting sucked back to what you already fixed. It's never ending.
Yeah, but then what's really... you mean you hire professionals. This isn't shit you tried on your own. I mean, you hire professionals to come in.
Well, no. Well, I got a my contractor's a professional. What was done before this, I have no idea. Like seriously, I know nothing about building houses or anything. I wasn't even very good at Legos, if we're going to be honest. You know, maybe the occasional spaceship. You know, I'm more of a Lincoln Logs type of guy. Tinker Toys on a good day. But this is like the way this house was slapped together was like, if you go, listen, we got a Groupon for building a house and we really can't afford a professional, but Rosenblatt has a modicum of common sense. Let's let him do it. Then you give me the job. I take the job. I go, yeah, but let me drink first. And then I start working.
Yeah. Yeah, it does kind of seem like that. There's also the let me find the cheapest solution and not know what I'm doing, but just like slap it together kind of way.
That's definitely in play, the cheapest solution. But again, there's no excuse for not peeling off both sides of double-sided tape. That's where the heavy drinking comes in.
In my old house, my ex-sister-in-law used to hire like extended family members or friends of family who may or may not actually be trained to be the contractors in whatever they were doing. And I know that they weren't the day that I was sitting in my living room and there was a pounding on the back door saying, turn off the water! Turn off the water main! And I knew there's a problem afoot upstairs.
Oh, that's happened here. But again, that's because here some of the pipes were so rusty. This is a 30-year-old house. A lot of this is just not... It's just ignoring when things go wrong. A lot of this is like, all right, we're not going to use this room anymore.
It's just neglect. Right. It's terrible neglect.
Yeah, that's what it is. And again, you look, Pip, you've been to the house. You look at the house. It's a very lovely house. People see this house. They like this house. I can't tell you how much we hate this house.
Yeah, I know. That's really, really unfortunate. I understand, though, because when you start having so many problems, I was getting to that point with the heating system in my old house. I loathed it. It was steam heat, and it was nothing but trouble, endless trouble.
We've had no opportunities to make any memories or anything joyful. My best memory here, a few weeks ago, I asked my daughter, hey, you want to have a catch? And she said yes, and it was the first time we had a catch in years, so that was cool. First, we threw around a softball, and then we threw around a football. That was cool. So that was like a moment of like taking a breath, and that I enjoyed. We finally have the pool working. We have solved that problem. It's been too cold to go swimming, but we have solved that problem. But I told you guys last week. I said, you know what? I want to go back to my old house. And on that note, on Friday we are closing the place where we raised my daughter, where we had our family, will no longer be ours. And it's very sad. Very sad. I'm sure, you know, if Joe had emotions when he left his house, it would be even rougher what he was. He was at his house a long time. But Joe's an emotionless prick. He's an almost...
It was very rough. I was, Joe, I remember after the close, we went back to the house, and I walked, and Joe's girl was with me, and I walked around the perimeter of the property for the last time, and I was just a mess.
Well, I mean, to be fair, Joe's girl did not like you staying at the closing for very long. She thought you had ulterior motives with the legal secretary, so.
That's very funny.
Wait, is that why you're closing the house? So you could spend some time with the legal secretary? That's why. That's why you're selling the house, isn't it?
Oh, my God. Oh, no. Oh, no.
But we
won't. Yeah, no, it was difficult not perhaps is difficult because I didn't like raise a family or anything, and I actually had hard times in my last house that I used to co-own with my brother. But it was still a little bit sad for me when I left it because it felt like home, and I wasn't used to the new place yet. But now this is home, and that is just like the house I used to live in.
See that house?
Yeah, same with mine. So I'll be out of my house. I'll literally be out of my house. I'll be in my old house 5 years next Tuesday.
That house?
Yeah, I can't believe it's 5 years. But yeah, it's wow. Yeah, basically it's no longer home. And it's funny because I was in the area the other day. And I really wanted to go home, and it's like, God, I wish I lived here. I'd be home in 2 minutes. I got another 35-minute ride. You know, but it is what it is.
That house is still home. I mean, that's my daughter's childhood house. I mean, and that's how she looks at it. The only saving grace is, realistically, we just couldn't stay there anymore. I mean, I guess we could have waited until my daughter went off to college. If she goes away to college, if she just decides to commute, then it would still be too small for us. My wife needed an office. My basement was shrinking. It was getting smaller and smaller. We were paying, you know, $160 a month for a storage unit across the street. But I mean, that was home. I really enjoyed the neighborhood I lived in. I think of my cat Maui when I go in there, and she was never here. I mean, it's just gonna, you know, it's gonna be rough. That, and like I said, we haven't done anything positive here yet. There's no pictures on the wall. We don't even have we don't even have smoke detectors up yet. I mean, it's just,
yeah.
I mean, so there's no. We haven't had family meals, and now my daughter's in her mid-teens, so she doesn't really eat dinner with us much anymore. My wife was saying, you know, at least before, she used to hang out in the living room. She said to my wife that she liked that setup better because from the dining room, you could see the living room. I mean, she doesn't hang out, but, you know, she's got a bigger room, which she likes. Her friends are hanging out here more. So I think she's going to have a good summer here. If we could get our hands around this house.
Yeah, you're building new memories, you know. It's like said, like leaving my old house and stuff like that, but I like the neighborhood. I like the house. I got my deer, you know. So it's just, you know, who's not as friendly as Pip's deer. At least your deer hang out. My deer are like teenagers. They come in, they give me a dirty look because they want food. I feed them. They don't even say thank you and they leave.
We don't offer ours anything but a safe spot, I guess, and they come and hang for a little bit.
Mine get a big scoop of corn, meal, you know.
Perhaps my daughter would want to hang out with your deer.
Yeah.
Maybe you should give your daughter some cornmeal and see what happens.
Yeah.
Whatever my daughter wants, she gets. But you know, like. We became really friendly with our neighbors there, and this house, Pip's been here. It's secluded, but it's not secluded, so you could go a long time without seeing your neighbors, which is good and bad, but there's no real relationship, and there's been kerfuffles, so it's just like,
Well, Jesus Christ, you've been there 2 months, not even 2 months, you know, let it go, you know?
It's fine, I'm just saying, it's been rough. Like, you know, I hope this works. I hope shit stops breaking. I really do. I hope shit stops.
Well, that's the thing you got to figure out. Yeah.
I mean, because we've gone through. We were going to have a nice chunk of money when we sold our house because we'd paid a very large amount of our mortgage off over the years. We weren't making minimum payments. We were paying ahead when we could, but right now it all goes into this place, and it's not even stuff. I've talked about it before. It's not even stuff that like enhances the value. It's stuff to keep the place standing. So it's just frustrating. It's not like, all right, we're gonna build another room. Let's take out this wall and build another room. We're gonna enjoy it, and that'll really enhance the value. No. Let's fix the subflooring so the toilet doesn't fall into the kitchen.
That's part of it. I mean, you know, basically, it's like I need to get my driveway
not redone, but paved. I need to get the ribbon done. I was going to do that. Well, I don't have the money to do that. I was going to have the redo the bathroom off my bedroom because it's pink. I go, I'll do that in 5 years. Well, that's not getting done, you know. So it's, you know, it is what it is.
The interesting thing about this house, discounting what we've put into it, if you just go by the Zillow estimate, which is not the high or the low, if you go by the Zillow estimate, it is worth more than $125,000 that we paid for it.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but, you know, that's why I told my wife, well, we should move. Yeah, but where are we going to live? I don't know. We'll got a townhouse or something.
Yeah, there's I was just recently up in Pine Bush, and it's pretty rural, but it's cute up there in that area of Orange County.
Yeah, it's nice up here. So we did the garage sale. I got to tell you, I've done a couple of these. What a fucking waste of time. It really is.
Oh, really?
Oh yeah. And we didn't even price everything individually like we have in the past, where you waste all that time. We didn't even go crazy putting signs out. First of all, there's like no signs on telephone poles in this town. So everybody's doing it like online now. Hardly anybody came. Just a couple. So then you start putting stuff out for free. And you put all that stuff in the driveway. And my wife's taking pictures and posting on these free sites. So then you get rid of some stuff. And then she breaks it down even further, because when some of that stuff goes, then she takes pictures individually and posts that on sites. Everybody wants something free. We're giving away, like, shit that's worth 20, 40, 50, 60 bucks. We're just giving it away for free, you know? And it becomes down, I'm like, well, you know, this is worth X amount of money, but it comes down to, yeah, are you going to post it? Are you going to monitor it? Are you going to go to the post office and ship it? I get it. But it's like, but on eBay, it's selling real well. Why do we have to give it away for free?
It's an opportunity to deal with it.
What?
You know, when you put it out for free. You know, I mean, when I was leaving, I had a shovel, a rake. Is the rake still available? No. Oh, what about the shovel? No, I don't want the shovel. All right, finicky. You know, it's free.
Yeah, I know. When you're giving it away for free, I had a guy, I somehow got a Spanish language Bible. I don't even remember
right
where
person
that came from.
Right person. I'm glad that sounds like something you should possess.
I really not for me. I don't know how I even got it, but I put it out at the garage sale. I figured whatever, and I had this guy busting my balls that I was selling a Spanish language Bible. He said, "Oh, it's a Bible. You shouldn't be selling it." And I thought to myself later, because I didn't think of it at the moment where I could have said it and felt satisfied about it. It's been years later, and I'm like, yeah, well, fucking bring that to Barnes & Noble's attention.
What if a landscaper wants to find God? You know, I mean, you're right there.
No, listen, Pip was doing the right thing. She had stayed at a hotel in Elizabeth, New Jersey, and she stole it from there. And now, you know, she's just paying it forward. That's all Pip's doing.
I tell you, I did something at my tag sale. I did something I regret, and I caught shit from the family. So I had my grandmother wheeled me her rocking chair, and I was in the middle of my garage. I sold the rocking chair, and I felt awful. My aunt was beyond pissed at me, and she had every right to be. And when we had the memorial for her, we go out to dinner. I'm sitting with my cousins. And we're talking with my cousin Josephine, and I go, you know, I sold the rocking chair. I go, I feel so bad. Grandma gave me the rocking chair, and I sold it. I regret it. She goes, oh, my mom was so mad at you. I go, so, and it's one of those things where you go, well, we'll just have to deal with it. No, they're right. And it was an awful thing I did. I felt so fucking bad.
Yeah, that's tough to give away things that you're attached to, emotional thing. It's funny. There was stuff like books I put out, like child books from my childhood. For the garage sale, nobody took it. And I'm like, you know, fuck it. I'm gonna keep it. I don't know when I'm gonna read this Donnie and Marie book, but I'm not just giving it away for free now.
What are you gonna see? Just want to catch up to see if Bill actually ran.
I don't know, Joe.
What the hell are you keeping? for that shit for?
There's no logic. But you know what? The vague memories of your childhood. It's like, I put it up there for sale. You could have offered me a nickel for it. Nobody took a nickel. Fine, now nobody gets it.
The one book that I will not throw out that just cracks me up every time was when Joanne and I went to pre-Cana, which is a Catholic thing to work on your marriage. We went a year after we got married. And just for the simple fact of the jokes I wrote in that book while it was sitting there, cracks me up every time.
Your pre-Cana joke book.
My
That's
pre-Cana
hilarious.
Joke book I had, I in the garage now, but at the old house, I used to have it in my night table. And sometimes I go through my night time and I pick and I just laugh at the shit I wrote in there. Cause we went there on a suggestion of a friend. She got it. It was 2 days of awful. And as a comic, if you're stuck in a situation, you goof on stuff. And they were lucky enough to give me a workbook. So I'm going to work.
Oh my God.
I'm goofing because some guy is crying at a freaking song and shit like that.
You know what's weird?
There were other couples?
Oh yeah, there was also a priest there because he was married to the god, and he was his marriage with God wasn't working out well. And my whole thing was, well, you know what? He says he's everywhere. He's not even here. So what's the point?
Well, the problem.
His marriage with God wasn't working, so he went to pre-Cana alone.
yeah, because I guess God, he had things to do. He had one to make it something like that.
Well, listen,
and then. You're trying to eat a. Believe me, these people there created miracles because they created four meals I couldn't eat. So I'm sitting there, and to take the mind off the bad chowdy, they ask you questions. And when I'm eating, I don't want to be disturbed. And it's like, Joe Curry, yeah. What does God love? What does God's love mean? It means pass the salt. The eggs are horrible, Joanne and I, we actually made the only thing we did really together was when we made a break to find some food that was actually tasteful. And we got locked out of the place. We had a knock on the door, and we got yelled at. I mean, for Christ's sake, we're in our 30s. We got scolded like we were 2 16.
What is it? What is it? A compound?
Yeah, it was like a compound up in Pennsylvania, but the Poconos. And a friend of ours who was connected with the church said, maybe you could do. To try pre-Cana, Marriage Encounter. It was called Marriage Encounter. And we were only married a year to tell you how well all the marriage was working out. So we went up to this Marriage Encounter thing, and we stayed because my coworker was nice enough to set it up. If we set it up, we would have split the first night. But, we stuck in it. And then we got back on Long Island, and the first place they hit in Huntington, where we lived, there was this amazing Chinese buffet. We got in that place, and we ate like we were pulled off a fucking raft. Yeah, we didn't eat in 2 fucking days. We didn't eat in 2 days.
Oh,
we couldn't eat the food. It was awful. So we got back
terrible.
Home and we just pigged out, man, at this Chinese buffet.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Yeah,
I don't. I don't understand the whole marriage to God thing because, like, he's answering everybody's prayers, so he's kind of a whore that way. So, like, if you're going to keep it equal, shouldn't you be seeing other gods? Like, I mean, because no god, God isn't just focused on one person, even if you're a priest. I mean, everybody's got gods here. I mean, he's always focused on his job,
And he's everywhere. He's like a busy road comic, and so he's never home.
But he gets paid. He gets paid better. God gets paid way better than we do. I got
to
tell.
So what happens is, if you're a priest and you're questioning your devotion to God, and you're married to him, you go to this retreat and you see if you want to keep your relationship with God.
Yeah, but what happens if the other priest, the one who you're going to for counseling, who also has a line to God, goes, listen, I just spoke to him. He's just not that into you.
Then you go home and you be a plumber. What can I tell you?
I mean, that's the best thing you could do. Go, listen, he's kind of lost the spark for you. He's a fickle lord.
I mentioned to him, and he said, yeah, he's all right, but I don't know, And he got upset because I had to create a famine, but, he's got to understand.
I mean, listen, he was nice. you know, my son said, when are you going to settle down? So I gave this guy a shot. But now, you know, I see there's other priests. I really like the Latin ones. It's the language of love. The way they talk to me, one of them had a Bible that they got at a garage sale. I really like the backstory of that.
And the interesting thing about the Catholic Church is priests shall not be married. It wasn't handed down by God. Back in the 1600s, priests were married. You get divorced or whatever, and the wives would try to take like the property of the church. And the church was like, whoa, 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 whoa. All right, here's a new rule. You join us, you can't be married, you know?
Wow. Well, that makes sense.
And all the problems started.
Well, not for the women.
No, the problem started for these priests that are made to be celibate, which is not for most people, not a natural situation.
Yeah, and the priests were like, we're sick of not being with a woman, and we're sick and tired of losing our candlesticks, our golden candlesticks to these broads. So ixnay on the women, abay.
Yeah, yeah. That's what drove me absolutely crazy, is learning that a lot of rules just came because of... Not because it was ordained by a celestial being. It was ordained by humans who were sick of some shit and decided to lay down a law because it was more convenient for them. Not buying this.
And before you get married, we went to pre-Cana, which is like, you know, it's before you get married. And meanwhile, I'm rebuilding my house, and my deadline is like the day, 2 days before I get married. So it's like, you know, Joe, are you listening? No, I'm trying to figure out when they're going to deliver sheetrock tomorrow. That's what I'm doing. Yeah, so I didn't really care. I'm just basically concentrating on it, keeping the house on the timetable.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember my brother went to pre-Cana because he was going to get married to a Catholic girl, and I was like, oh, God, do tell. He was just not into it. He was just playing along so that she'd be happy.
Yeah, you go because you got... You go because you want to get married. You want to get married in a Catholic church. I'm a Catholic. And you go because they want that. So you just sit and you deal with it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I can't imagine.
So
that was never happening.
I don't know if I told you guys. I'm playing in two softball leagues this year.
What?
Really? How's the body holding up?
We'll get there.
Oh, boy.
Well, my friend.
I'm playing in the weeknight league, and then one of the guys from the weeknight league asked me and another member of my team from that league to play on Sunday mornings. So I've been playing in these two leagues, and it's just like, I think I'm at that point where I'm like, you know what, I don't even know, because the one league I had, the Sunday morning I have to leave the house at 7:45 to get there, because it's 9 o'clock game, and the other one, the weeknight game, the games start at 9, so I have to leave like at 8 or so. I'm getting to that point, it's like, God, I really like sitting on my couch.
Yeah.
I'm getting to the point where I like sitting on my couch more than anything else, I'm thinking maybe this will be my last year, because I was retired. And then I came out of retirement, so I was thinking maybe this will be my last year. My leg is my body's holding up. My injured leg from last year, I had to wear a brace this week when I played because I had all the fluid on the knee again. But I treated that. But something happened to me on Sunday, which has never happened to me before. Usually I talk about my multitude of failures in various arrays of my life, hence the house. But this has never happened to me before. So I'm playing outfield. I've been an outfielder for quite a long time. I don't like the outfield. I hate the outfield. For the longest time, I was a first baseman. I'm left-handed, but I'm short, but I was a really good first baseman. But then I even did it when I was the captain. I would move myself to the outfield because I've always been fairly fast so I can get to the ball. But I don't like it. I don't like it out there. When you guys watch baseball, when you see somebody camped underneath the ball, it's very peaceful. It's very calm. That's never me. For some reason, my legs are always moving like a cartoon. They're always churning, even when I'm underneath the ball. And it's always
looks like Barney Rubble out there.
Yeah, yeah. And it makes no sense. But it's been that way. So I've made a couple of really good catches in both leagues. So last year, I was so frustrated, I bought a bigger glove. This glove was like an inch bigger. Because sometimes I would get to the ball, and it would pop. I would get to the ball, and it would pop out of my glove. And that was frustrating. And also, at night, I still have a hard time, because I can't see. The lights are so bad. So, like, when it's daylight when we're playing, it's like 7 o'clock at night, 7:30, the sun's in your eyes. And then when the sun goes down, then they put the lights on, which are 50 feet too low, so they're in your eyes. So you can never see the ball at this field. It's terrible. So when somebody's not a natural outfielder, I mean, everybody struggles with it, but it's even harder for me. So I've been in right field for years. For a long time, I was a left fielder, because that's where you put one of your better outfielders. Right field is generally where you put one of your worst outfielder, to be fair.
I was the right outfielder in Little League, yeah.
Yeah, so I've played a lot of right field over the past years. But on this new league, I played some right center, which is four across, so it's kind of center field, right? And I've played left. So I was in left on Sunday. And we had a big lead, and then we didn't. So, like, in the we play 9 innings, which really, again, when I was younger, that's amazing. Now, it's enough. 7's enough.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It's weird. It's like I used to look so forward to softball. Used to look so forward to it. So playing, and there's a ball hit, foul territory. I run full out sprint, lay out, ball's in the glove. My injured knee leaves a huge divot in the ground. Ball drops out. Don't get the ball. Okay. So eighth inning comes. This might have been the inning before. This might have been the seventh. Eighth inning comes. We're up by 7, and then we're not. Now we're up by 3. We've just given up 4 runs with 2 outs. Just given up 4. Our pitcher, just as it turns out, broke his arm. He got hit with a line drive. He's coming off double hip surgery. So so he's not moving well as it is.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, some of these guys are much older.
What parts were working at this point?
He was a decent pitcher. He was a decent pitcher, so the pitching arm was working. But he doesn't hit. If you hit it back to him, he really can't field the position. But I give these guys, these pitchers, credit, because the ball comes back pretty quickly. So,
yeah.
So we had our other pitcher in. So now it's first and second. I think it's first. The bases might have been loaded. I really don't remember. I'm in left field. Fly balls hit towards in between center and left field. Now, I would say our center fielder, like most outfielders, is certainly more graceful and more steady than I am. I'm not graceful. I am not steady. It's always an adventure. I usually make the play. I occasionally make the spectacular play, but I'll duff a ball I shouldn't. And it's weird because when I was a first baseman, I always wanted the ball hit to me. And you know that when you play sports, hit the ball to me. When I'm batting, give me a chance. I'll drive in the run. I'm in the outfield. I never want the ball hit to me. Hit it to somebody else, please. I don't want to be here. Like when I'm in right field and lefties come up, it's like, oh, shit. Whereas like normally, you want the ball hit to you. I want nothing to do with it. And I don't know why. Because, I mean, what Joe and I do, you know, we're on stage. We're by ourselves. You live and you fail. You know, everybody could see if it doesn't go well. But that doesn't bother me. For some reason, these meaningless softball games, making a boneheaded play bothers me. It shouldn't, but it does.
Yeah.
Because other people make boneheaded plays, you know, whatever. So as balls hit in between the gap, and I've seen our center fielder move. No. you know, if he can get there, he's going to catch the ball. But I'm probably the fastest guy on the team. I'm probably, you know, Pip looks shocked, as well you should. I'm still pretty fast. I'm a fat son of a gun, but I'm still pretty fast. And for the first time in years, I'm not lifting. So like, I would go to the field, and my legs would be dead from lifting, from squats and crunches, not crunches,
right?
All sorts of things. So I feel a little bit more springy. So I run, I dive in the air. I dive in the air to get the ball. I have the ball in my glove. Once again, I hit the ground. The ball pops out. Ball pops out. I roll somehow onto my back. I roll onto my back, and the ball is rolling around on my chest. With my left bare hand, I grab the ball, and I hold it up, and I made the put-up. That's not the part of the story that's never happened before. But
that's cool.
It is, but it's funny. Because these like, I get more excited seeing other people make great plays. Like, when I make a great play, and there's been several this year, to be fair, it's just like, oh, okay. Which is really...
Essentially, you caught that ball like a circus bear.
But with less skill. Yeah. No, but first of all, it's really... I had to go a long way to get that ball. I had to go a long way. But the weird thing is...
So much so you had to take a nap when you grabbed it.
But you got to remember, I'm describing it, but I might have rolled a few times. I'm not sure. It's all happening very fast. Your brain gets scrambled. Your eyes are bugging all over the place.
The ball. That's the bottom line.
Right. And I,
yeah.
So I'm used to, you know, you make a great play. Your teammates come to congratulate you. I'm used to that type of thing. The other team came to congratulate me. They're like, you just saved the game. You just made a game. Not only that, the umpire came from behind home plate to greet me as I was coming off the field goals. That, you know, that was a great catch. That has never happened to me before.
Wow.
Yeah. I really would have liked to have seen this catch.
Are you sure the ump didn't come out to see if you needed oxygen?
No. He knew I didn't. I was fine. That's the thing about me. If I roll, I can spring right up. I'm very good at rolling and springing to my feet. Like a lemur.
Well, that could have been one of those plays that was on the Wild World of Sports montage before it got to the agony of defeat.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's fun.
Davin grabbed the ball.
It's funny, though. I had people saying to me, that's one of the best catches they've ever seen. So it's like, wow. Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's nice.
It is nice.
I think you feel good about your excursions into softball.
I guarantee you, next time I'm playing in the outfield, though, I'm still going to be, oh, I don't want the ball hit to me. Oh, shit.
Oh, so the glory fades very quickly.
It does. I've been thinking about it, which is weird, because one of the guys said to me, he goes, yeah, you'll be thinking about that for a while. And I'm like, nah. But I go, oh, thinking about it. Yeah. Because I've made like several really good catches this year. And I'm wondering, it's amazing what happens when I can see the ball. That's a big help. It's amazing when and the new glove helps. But then we were at the old house today, and there was this dictionary. And I'm like, oh, it must be dark in here. I can't read this. My wife's like, you can't read this? My wife has glasses, and she's holding it here, and she can read the words. I'm like, ha, not me. I can't read. I might need readers, but I see you guys fine. So.
I tell you, getting old, there was a benefit for our friend Jen, who passed away at this bar out in Jersey. And, you know, Joe goes, oh, your girlfriend's going to be there? I go, I'm just going to support Jan, support the ASPCA and stuff like that. It took me 2 hours to get there. And I'm like, I go, you know what? I'm too old to be, I wasn't trying to be a creep. I was just going out there for Jen, you know, to support Jen's memory. And I'm like, I couldn't go out there. It was 2 hours to get there. You know, there's traffic. And, you know, I'm tired. I don't feel like driving 2 hours to get there. Then on the way home, I had a couple of beers there, so I took a nap behind a dumpster in the car, you know, and I didn't get home till 4 in the morning. So it's like, I'm too tired to be a scallywag. All I wanted to do was go through my winter clothes.
Well, we got a long ride coming up. I think next week we got a long ride coming up, Joe.
Yeah, I think a couple of weeks, not this coming weekend.
No, not this coming weekend. Yeah, those long rides, I'm driving down to Florida at the end of the summer again, too. It's like, what am I doing? Yeah.
It's just as you get older, it's fun. You know, I tell you, Joe Cumia, though, man, he's a road dog. He'll go, those guys will play in Ohio for Notre Dame, like, but in the season. He'll run out, the band will play. I think they get a room, but, you know, if they don't, they head right back home, or, you know, they'll get some sleep and they'll drive right back. I mean, he's still a road dog with that.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, with the price of gas, a lot of this stuff just doesn't make sense anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I was just like, so I sell my shirts for $20 a piece. I used to sell them for $15 many, many years ago. Then somebody said, well, you have to pay $15, they'll pay $20. So I go, okay, that makes sense. So you used to sell a shirt for $20. Go, all right, pay for a tank of gas. Then gas got really high. Go, all right, if I sell two shirts, I'll pay for a tank of gas. Now I got to sell three shirts just to pay for it. It's insane. Something has to give. I'm open for another pandemic, really, because I posted on Facebook.
It used to cost me $30 to fill my car. It now costs me $53. You know, and it's, I don't know. You know,
I'm putting like over 50 in. We need the Chinese. We need somebody in China to munch a platypus testicle stat. We need another disease to get people off the road again to control the price of gas.
I'm sorry. This is very disturbing. What the hell does munching a platypus testicle have to do with the price of gas?
Well, one theory is the last pandemic was caused by the Chinese eating bats. So we've got that covered. So now the platypus are up. Let's go.
I did not put any of that together.
The poor platypus. You ever take a look at the platypus? It must have been one of the last animals God ever made, because basically everything looks like it came out of the parts bin. You know?
Well, you know what, Joe? It's a shame you mentioned that, because unfortunately that was the wedding gift for the priest that was at the marriage counseling with you. That was his, and that's when you knew there was problems. When he gives his brand new priest of a bride a platypus.
Yeah. Look at the bill on that thing. That's well made. No, it's not. No, it's not.
This price of gas, and really, it's a global economy. Like I've said a million times, there's nothing you can really do about it. But I'll tell you what. A lot of industries are going to start to shut down. People are spending money now because they had a lot of saved up after the pandemic, but that's not going to last forever. They got to figure this out. And it's we need to drill more oil. We have the oil. We don't have the refining capacity. And it takes years to build a refinery. And, you know, listen, justifiably, you have to jump through hoops to get them built and everything. And then don't worry, you could build a brand new refinery. A hurricane comes along and knocks it offline for 6 months. So
it's also the incentive of the oil. I mean, look, the oil company, like, and I'm going to bring up a couple of things which are not immediate, like the Keystone Pipeline. The contracts on federal land that got canceled. Now the thing about it's not going to affect it immediately. No, not really. However, the oil companies lost their shirt when the pandemic hit. So basically, what they're doing is that they're not producing as much because they don't want to lose their shirt again, because the administration has got so much going on phasing out fossil fuel that they don't want to get the capacity there.
Well, as I understand it. They were not able to keep up because they had so many illnesses during COVID. They still haven't been able to keep up. They're still recovering from hurricanes and freezes. Plus, you got everybody boycotting Russia. These countries still need gas and everything. That's why I say it's global. Listen, it just sucks. Whatever. I'm not going to talk about gas prices. Whatever. Nobody wants to hear
it. I understand.
But it is interesting. Joe was talking about inflation many, 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 many months ago. He called that one. To be fair, people have been talking about inflation for 40 years and it never came. It just happened to come this time.
But you know what? It's so frustrating because, like I said, you go. I was paying $33 to fill up the car. Now it's $53. Well, I guess I'm going to have to cut back on food. And you go to the supermarket, you buy $53 worth of food, and it's a couple of things, and it's like there's no way out. You know,
well, as far as our career, my career, your one of your many side ventures, it hasn't come back from COVID. I mean, there's more than it was, you know, a year ago. But there's a lot of places that have not come back. And, you know, now I got to think, and these restaurants. So say I go to a restaurant to do comedy. Hey, listen, I got to try to get more now to try to make it worth it for the comics to come out and pay gas. And they're going, yeah, but our food costs are up. So we got to, you know, our margins are cut. And then to offset what I want to pay the comics and their food costs and their electricity and the higher wages for the salary, they have to raise the prices of everything. And then the consumer goes, well, I can't afford this. It's all
right. So people, and as everything was coming back, now you have a problem with disposable income.
You will, That's why I think Zoom comedy is going to be back, kids. Because I'll tell you what, I got tours coming up, and I'm going, what the hell was I thinking? It's like even next week when we're going out there, I didn't fathom in my right mind that gas would be $5 a gallon. What am I doing? What am I going out for? What, you make nothing by the time you're done. It's So I guess you're gonna come up here and meet me, right?
I guess, yeah.
Okay. All right. Interesting stuff. There's one thing I want your opinion on real quick. I don't want to get into a whole big discussion about it, but really no other opportunity to talk about it. I want your opinion, Joe. What do you think about this next this Thursday, they're gonna be having these January 6th hearings, which are a big deal. Whether you think Trump was involved, and more it looks like he was, or you don't. It's still a big deal. This is like the biggest thing since Watergate. You know, but Fox News is not airing it. It's in prime time. They're putting it on Fox Business. CNN and MSNBC are airing it. Joe, do you think Fox News should be airing? I mean, if you're a news station to educate your public one way or the other, don't you have a duty to cover this?
They should put it on there, and then they should critique it.
Yeah, I got no problem with them putting their pundits on.
I think they're not, because I think this is just turning into a circus. Because I believe that the Democrats need something to take everybody's mind off of what's going on with the price of gas and inflation.
Oh, well, listen. Well, I don't – yes, they need – I'll say this. Yes, they need something to take the mind off the economy. I agree 100%. That being said, the Republicans are very great at creating circuses with their whole cultural things, with all the culture wars.
Yeah, look, I'm not saying they're not. I mean, also Hunter Biden's laptop should be on primetime TV as well. So, you know,
that's not as big. Listen, the problem with Hunter Biden's laptop is when you start your story with, well, Rudy Giuliani got this laptop that was left at a store. You're not leading with your strongest lay. If you give me something a little bit more credible, then I'm not going, this is ridiculous. When you start with Rudy Giuliani, whose hair is melting, who we've seen him give press conferences in front of dildo stores, it's not the best way for me to take you seriously. But you know.
His credibility has plummeted.
It looks like there's something possibly there, although they haven't really been able to link it to Biden, which is really the important thing, to Joe Biden, which is really the only newsworthy thing. Hunter Biden being a pervert, I really don't care. Just like I really didn't care that, you know, Donald Trump's kids are a bunch of loons and crazy people. I really don't care. It was only how they affected the running of the government. Now, if you say, you know, when Joe Biden was vice president and there were certain things going on, now you have my attention. Hunter Biden, you know, being with hookers and on coke, I really don't care. I mean, it's great for the National Enquirer. But as far as running the country, I really don't care necessarily.
And to tell you the truth, about January 6th, if we saw how things were going to turn out, they should have said, you know what, you should have stayed there. Maybe we'll be back.
No, well, the thing is with January 6th, though, is there's more and more evidence. I mean, they got transcripts. They got audio that Trump's team was in cahoots with it. It's a big deal. Now, listen, I know it's not going to change your mind or other people's minds. And, you know,
if it was an insurrection, how come nobody was charged with an insurrection?
Actually, they just charged the leader of the Proud Boys and three others with conspiracy for sedition. They were just charged today or yesterday. So, you know, listen, that's the Justice Department. That, you know, I'm sure the liberals have a problem with Merrick Garland. They would like him to go much quicker. And, you know, perhaps conservatives don't want there to be anything at all. Like I said, Trumpsters are not conservatives. I don't know. But some people were just charged with sedition. So that's pretty serious. And they look, and, you know, these things, they are linking more and more to Trump. We have the audio of Donald Trump calling Georgia. This is Trump's biggest thing right now, his biggest danger. In Georgia, when he calls the attorney general, find me 11,700 votes. I mean, that's right there. There's plenty there. But like I said, it's not going to change minds. But if you call yourself a news channel, I mean, this is newsworthy. You know, like Joe said, well, the pundits will critique. I got no problem with that. I got no problem with the spin afterwards, because that, unfortunately, we don't get news. We get opinion and hyperbole. But at least carry it. At least pretend that you're doing something news. Instead, what are we going to get? Hannity bloviating again? Tucker Carlson?
Well, I believe Fox's opinion on it. I believe, you know, if you go in a conservative
news and stuff like that. I believe that they think it's just going to be a sideshow circus, so why bother?
But here's the thing, though. When it's testimony, now listen, politicians always have the ability to make things a circus. Both sides. We've talked about that with the judicial hearings. You know, I it's hard to watch. But if you really want to hear the news, these people are under oath that are going to be testifying. And these people had access. These people were with Trump. They have the head of the Secret Service is going to be testifying. They say, you know, well, when the president gets up in the morning to the time he rests his head for sleep, this guy is with the president all day. If you really want to know what was going on January 6th and the days and weeks and months leading up to it, one way or the other, I would think you'd be tuned in to hear what this guy says. I mean, that's a big deal. I mean, the Secret Service isn't motivated to lie, and they're certainly not going to do it under oath. Why wouldn't you tune in? I mean, if you think Trump did nothing, this guy's going to tell you. Trump did nothing, had nothing to do with it. He was sitting having two scoops of vanilla ice cream. He always gets two. I know that. I saw him eat every dinner.
What they probably want to go over the testimony, and then Hannity and Tucker Carlson and, you know, we'll go over it, and Jeanine Pirro will go over it, and we'll break it down from there. You know, take snippets of it and break it down.
Right, but I was saying they don't want their audience to hear it from the horse's mouth, so to speak. I know. Listen, you could spin whatever you want. That's why, you know, people, you would sometimes do it to me. Oh, well, you know, you just listen to left-wing media. And I would say, no, I heard him say it. Whether it was Trump or anybody else, I heard them say it. So if you really want to know what's going on, forget about the pundits on the left and the pundits on the right and all that nonsense. Forget about all that. These people are under oath. They're going to be directly questioned. I would think you would want to hear, you would want to know. If you were a citizen, a concerned citizen, whether you're Republican, Democrat, or Independent, or Libertarian, or Green Party, whatever it is, I would think you would want to know, because it's kind of a big deal.
Well, if you're a Fox, you gotta think about the two other channels. All right, they're liberally based media, so they're like, let him go, let him testify, let him, you know, and let him go to town. What do we got to lose? You know, everything is going to be against Trump. You've got Fox News that their core audience is conservative, and they'll want to comment on that, or the opportunity to comment on that in real time. Can they? No, they can't. So the best thing they could do to pacify their core audience is have the hearings proceed, and then go over certain points of the hearing, and then have Tucker Carlson comment on it, Sean Hannity comment. It's business.
Yeah, but that strategy tells me that you think these people are going to say some pretty damning things. These people that were on Trump's staff, that were in the White House, you know, all these people who were there. So, you know, you're not getting Rachel Maddow's opinion of what might have happened. These are the people. Yeah. These are the people that are there. Like I said,
if it's damning as you perceive it to be,
I don't know. I don't know what it's going
to
say.
Hear me out on this. If it's damning as you perceive it to be, and you're a liberal, you don't need Rachel Maddow to sit there. I mean, you know, the results, if that's the case, the results would speak for themselves. On Fox News, he would have to put something, you know, address that and critique it and break it apart. That's them pandering to their audience.
You know what, Joe? I don't even know if they're going to do that. I think there's going to be so much.
I absolutely believe they will.
I know. Here's what I think is going to happen. I think there's going to be so much damning stuff that you can't spin, just from the stuff that's already out there, that I think they're going to do like Hunter Biden. They're going to do that stuff. They'll attack. Maybe they'll drag Hillary Clinton back. She's always fun. But I think they're going to do. I don't think they're going to address it, because it's, and I don't, and I think a lot of their audience, you tend to be a little bit more informed than a lot of their audience, possibly because you have to deal with us every week. But I think a lot of their audience won't even know that this is happening, that this is going on, because they're not tuning into Bret Baier. They're not tuning into the, quote, news people. They're going to tune in to Tucker and Hannity and Laura and Fox and Friends, which Pip has a bone to pick with. We'll get to in the next segment. I don't think they're going to know, which again is fine. Just don't put news in your title. Like I've been saying for years, you can program whatever you want. You just shouldn't be.
But the thing about it is, if you don't think any of them are opinionated, I mean, it's all opinionated. It has been opinionated. opinionated.
Right, but Joe, all the more reason to carry the testimony. Let the people form their opinion. I don't want to hear Rachel or Joe Scarborough, although I enjoy Joe Scarborough, or Hannity or Tucker. I don't want to hear their opinion of what's being said when I can tune in. I'll have a softball game if it doesn't rain, so I probably won't see it. But the problem with this country is we don't like to be informed. If you really want to know what happened, listen, you might watch that thing and you might come away and go, yeah, they got nothing on him. You know, these are the people that were in the room with Trump. They got nothing on him. He had nothing to do with it. Was he happy about it? Yeah, probably, and that's not great. But
you got to think of it in terms of running a business, okay? You've got people. You see, that's the thing. Look, I have to there was a friend of mine I saw on Saturday night. And she's very much liberal and stuff like that. We make a long story short. She would go. Well, give me your opinion on gas prices. And we had a very nice discussion. I know because I do the research on it and stuff like that. You know, a lot of people don't. You know. And she goes, right. Oh, you know a lot about it. Well, because I have to do research for my show. I spend 3 hours going over policy and stuff like that. Now, with that being said, you have average people of a liberal. Now, I'll give you an example. I was working at Tiff's on Friday night. And I was talking about Trump. I go, you know, does anybody miss Trump? You know, and going into a bit. And there's a woman there, MAGA, 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 you know, and all she knows is Trump, MAGA, 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 you know. And you got a lot of people with that mindset. Now, with that mindset, they're going to hear the testimony, and they're going to want to hear, they want a place to go to where they can hear Tucker Carlson talk about it. They could hear Sean Hannity talk.
Like I said, Joe, I got no problem with them airing the testimony and then having them spin it however they're going to spin it.
But that equals ratings. So regardless of, you know, people are too busy to form their own opinion.
Well, that's a problem.
And they get news too quickly, and they want somebody to go over the opinion with them. And that's on all sides of the spectrum. A business, as running a station, as get a ratings book, I believe Fox feels that if we don't air it, people will hear it on the radio, whatever, and then they will go to Tucker Carlson, they'll go to Sean Hannity, maybe Jeanine Pirro to hear their.
I think it's more sinister. They don't trust. They don't want their people to have the information. So they want them going directly to Tucker or Sean or Laura or whatever. Because what I'm proposing is,
and that equals ratings. I mean,
no, but Joe, I'm not saying, but Joe, Joe, I'm not saying forego the ratings. I'm saying inform the people and then do your ratings thing. They just want to go straight for the punditry and the ratings. I'm saying
But I understand that. But, you know, ethics with the cable news channels, all of them, it's not there. It's all about ratings, and it's all about, you know, we've been divided into this side against that side, and these stations have a feast on that. And like I said before, the politicians pander or do what they do because they want your vote. The cable news networks and talk radio, regardless of what side they are, they want ratings. So basically, they're going to feed off of that. And like I said, and at the end of the day, everybody's got a book, you know. So are they going to show up? No. Is it ethical? I would say, you know, yeah. But the problem about it is they feel, I would assume, that they feel that to let the testimony happen, Tucker and Sean Hannity, Jeanine Pirro, would go over it and disseminate that, but it, you know, go over that, which however way they feel.
Let's make a friendly wager. Let's make a friendly wager. It could be whatever you want. I guarantee you. I don't guarantee you. I believe these shows, the ones you talk about, highly rated shows, will spend more time attacking the people asking the questions than actually discussing what the witnesses are testifying to.
I'm not going to make a wager on that because most likely they will. You know, and like I said, because they're not running on ethics. They're running on ratings, and ratings are people going there. The people want to hear their point of view. Now, if you're saying that, well, possibly would their audience agree with that? I would say so. Like I say, one of the things I don't like about Tucker Carlson is when he has a guest on and they're going back and forth, he really doesn't give them a chance to debate or to put their side out or let them talk, which I don't like. Is it a debate or is it not a debate? So I'm not going to take that wager because I'm not going to say, oh, they wouldn't do that. They probably would. So I really am not going to take that bet.
I'll tell you what. It is a terrible way to run a country, the way we are doing things right now. It is just so cynical, so evil, so not love of country, the way things are going right now, the way things are presented.
Well, because we're so divided in our own camps, and that is a problem.
I had to check myself. It's funny you say that. A thought process, and then we'll take a break, never would have occurred to me years ago. Occurred to me, but I didn't let it stop what I do. So, we have this pool guy go to his company. He was the one who came out. They fixed the pool. They're the ones who we've been going to for the pool thing. You know, out of loyalty. You know, he's the one who said they could fix it. They fixed it. Blah, 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 blah. So I'm in the pool store yesterday. Nice guy. I'm in the pool store yesterday, and he starts typing away something. He's entering information on my water quality into his computer. It's amazing what you can do now. So he starts going, bing, 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 bing. He goes, do you know who that is? It's either two things, Ricochet Rabbit, which I didn't think it was.
That's good, because basically Pippi go two old references. Good, all right, very good.
I didn't think it was Ricochet Rabbit. Bing, bing, bing. I go Donald Trump. He goes, yeah. He goes, that's my guy. And part of me is like, ugh. I don't want to give this guy my business. And that's the way a lot of people think. But then I got past it. I'm like, you know what? This guy's a nice guy. He's. I think he's done right by me with the pool. Get that stupid thought out of your head. But the fact that that thought was in my head shows you, and a lot of people would have given into that thought. I know it to be true. Would have given it, well, this guy doesn't believe the way I do. I'm not giving him my business. He's going to use this money to donate to whoever and blah, blah, blah. But it just shows you how sick, me included, have gotten as a nation. Like I said, I didn't give into it. I'm like, the guy does a good job. He's a nice guy. Stop it. Stop with that nonsense. But it never would have crossed my mind 10 years ago to think like that.
Well, you know, it's like I have very liberal, like Tammy, who we do The Way to the World with, is very liberal. We get along fine. A friend of mine I saw over the weekend is very liberal-minded, and we were able to have an intelligent conversation. My friend Ginger, who lives in Florida, is very liberal-minded. Where, you know, so it depends. Also, like I said, people don't have the time to break down the news. Now, on the way home, like if I'm coming home from a workshop or something like that, and it's late, I'll put on Rita Cosby on either ABC or WOR. And there are a lot of times I listen to Rita Cosby talk, conservative person, and sometimes she gets things wrong. And I'm like, that's not correct. That's one of the things is that a lot of conservative talk shows are, well, we should be more in tune with the Ukraine. We need to, you know, I don't know why we're not standing by Ukraine and sending troops, and because it's starting fucking World War III. You know,
we are standing by Ukraine.
Sorry,
I said we are standing by Ukraine. We can't send them enough weapons.
But I mean, the fact of getting involved with troops.
Oh yeah, listen, it's a tough spot.
So you get that. You get, well, we should be troops. No, it's going to start World War III. We have to play a chess game here.
Isn't that a weird pivot for conservative talk radio? And I don't listen to it. But it's like they were just not that long ago. They were so hard on Putin's cock, and now it's like we should go to war with Putin. And I guess most of their audience is just like sucks up whatever they are told.
The talking point on that is to look at, well, you know, this is crisis, is getting out of hand. It's been going on too long. We need to take a stand against Russia and start World War III.
I'll tell it, and then really we're going to take a break. And Joe probably disagrees with this. But I will say, out of the last presidents, Obama, Bush, Obama, Trump, Biden's probably the one who's gotten this closest to right out of all of them. Because the other ones, to varying degrees, let Putin get away with too much. And Biden's the first one to say, no, no, you're not doing this. So, I mean, listen, you might disagree with me. And there's a lot of things I know you don't like Biden on. But I think as far as recent presidents, he's handled...
To tell you the truth, I really can't fault Biden's handling on this, because the other option is starting World War III.
Well, there's a couple of options. The other option, which we saw during Obama, and we saw it to Trump in different ways, is to acquiesce. I mean, because I think it was under Obama, in 2014 where we let them take Georgia. You know, we didn't do anything with that. Was it under Trump where they took Crimea, or was that under Obama? I might be getting it wrong, but we've seen Crimea get annexed. We've seen Russia take Georgia, and none of the presidents did anything about it. Biden's the first one to go, you're not doing this. And he's working with NATO. And I agree with you. You know, you watch these horrible things. It's like, oh, you know what? We got to bomb these MFers. But then you go, but then there's a war. It gets crazy.
And what's very interesting, too, is you're watching these horrible things. Now, for example, when they get the troop count, Russia lost 30,000 troops. No, they didn't. You know, they didn't lose 30,000 troops, okay? Some things that, like, with bombings in Ukraine, they'll show the footage, but, you know, it's horrible. You don't see a lot of dead bodies. You don't see that. So with this going on, there's a lot of, you know, not concrete evidence of what's actually going on there to make a decision whether how much more involved we should get. Well, Russia lost 30,000 troops. There's no way they lost 30,000.
You know what? I don't know. Listen, the people and the leaders of government have way more about what's real and not real. The reality is it's a rock and a hard place. I'm glad we have a president who's finally standing up to Putin. We haven't had in a long time, and I loved Obama. Obama was my favorite, but he didn't. Trump didn't. Bush looked into his eyes. So I'm glad somebody's – whatever. All right. Listen, hopefully this gets resolved soon. Hopefully gas comes down soon. Hopefully – I was going to say we'll get good media soon, but we're not going to get that. But Pip will take on the media when we come back. Pip has taken on Brian Kilmeade of Fox and Friends. She whipped out an SAT word for her blog, kids. Troglodyte. Troglodyte, she wrote. So we will tell you what that's about. Also, kids going on a field trip, and their school bus has a stripper pole. Doo-dah, doo-dah. And you can get all felt up in the metaverse, but do you really want to? That and much more. Make sure you tune in. On the break, I got to hear written somewhere. Herbie Frame. I got it. So much to talk about. Herbie Frame featuring Sarah Lahn and Colors of the Wind.